Good afternoon. The time is 12:07. This is Midday Matters on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beeter. Very glad to be with you on this rather dreary Thursday afternoon, but that's okay. We'll try to green up here. This, of course, is Midday Matters Outer Spaces. With me in the studio, it's Doug Hackbarth, one of the usual suspects from Broadview Florist. Doug, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Sean. And it's 36 out right now, which is kind of what it's been running for the last couple of days. That's the reason we didn't get that ice. I think when the ice started, it was 32, and it gradually went back up to 35, 36.
We got, despite the dreariness and the sloppiness, I think we probably got lucky, at least in the Fort Wayne area.
Yeah,
here.
Big time lucky here.
With me in studio, because it's the last Thursday of the month, it's Laura Stein for her second appearance on the program this February.
Good afternoon, Sean. Yes.
Thanks
very
much
for being
here.
Month.
It really has.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
We appreciate you being back once again, Laura, of course, from Laura Stein Gardens, and we want to hear from you today. We'll get to our topic du jour in just a moment, but if you want to participate in the conversation, if you have a question or comment today, the number is 260-452-1185 or toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Now, Laura, you every time you're on the program, you bring a different topic along with you. Gets us thinking just a bit here, and you bring some photos as well. Now, looking back on this week so far, the last 7 days, it seems like all I've done on the air in the mornings is read school delays.
Right.
It's been sloppy, it's been snowy, it's been rainy, it's been a mess. You today, though, you've brought along a few signs of spring that you're seeing. Spring really is, despite all this, just around the corner.
Well, it has been such a dreary week this week, especially. But if you've been noticing as you walk to your car in the morning, or if on your lunch break, or if you've been able, had the good fortune to be outside last weekend or any this week, I think you can hear a little bit of difference in the air. I hear the birds are different. There's more of them. I'm hearing different calls. And if you look around, you can definitely see some signs of spring. So I snapped some photos of different signs of spring I'm seeing and brought them in. And if you want to check those out on the Midday Matters Facebook page, you can do that.
That's right. A few photos. We can talk a little more about those specific signs in a moment. But we want to know, a little optimistic today. What signs of spring, what signs of the changing seasons, what signs of warmth, holy cow, are you seeing in your backyard? Give us a call and share what's going on in your neck of the woods. 260-452-1185 or toll free once again, 800-471-9264. And as Laura said, you can see a few photos on our Midday Matters Facebook page. That's facebook.com/MiddayMatters. All right. So, Laura, before we got on the air here, we were talking about these photos and some of the signs of spring in your backyard. You're seeing the bluebirds return.
Yes. I was so tickled this year. I got a photograph of the bluebirds as they came through. This has happened probably in the last 3 to 4 years, about this time of year. I usually see just a pair come through. Now, this time I had four, but I, ran around the house like a crazy woman and grabbed the camera and tried a couple different angles. But I did get a shot of one of the bluebirds on the winterberry berries, the stems that have berries on them that are in my planters. Now, I do have winterberry planted out in the yard. I have to say, after the drought and the tough spring we had last year, I didn't have a lot of berries on my plants themselves. So I loaded up my planters in hopes that for the holiday decorations, in hopes that the birds would come by this spring, and so I got lucky and they did.
And now, for those of us who aren't bird watchers, or for those who may not be able to get to the Facebook page right away, we're not talking about blue jays, the big, slightly aggressive birds who terrorize all other birds in our backyards.
Exactly.
No, we're talking about the smaller birds, a blue body with a kind of a brown and white chest. Here.
Mm-hmm. They are, and they're distinctly blue. They're very, they're as blue as the cardinal is red. So so they definitely stand out. They are much smaller than the blue jay. And then they have that kind of chestnut brown breast that you that you can tell that really makes them stand out differently.
Hmm. Hey, Laura, yeah. Is in population numbers, are bluebirds less out there than the redbirds? It seems like I see redbirds a lot during the year, but I don't see the bluebirds near as often.
Right.
And is that right?
I think that's probably true in our area. I see when I've been down in the middle of winter, down in the Brown County, mm-hmm. Johnson County area, I see more bluebirds throughout the winter down there. I don't typically see them up here, but just in this really late winter phase. Now, I'm not an expert birder at all, so I don't know if they stay around here and we just don't see them, or if they're really coming through this time of year. That's mm-hmm. what I would suspect mm-hmm. because I never see them otherwise. They're, you know, earlier in the winter.
No. Okay. I just right. wondered. I also heard that I heard this on the news at least a week to 10 days ago, that the suspicion that hummingbirds are going to come back to us earlier this year. I'm not quite sure why they think that. I think because it's getting warmer quicker way down south.
That would be
They're
my
moving
guess.
Forward mm-hmm. Sooner this year. Of course, I think last year in March, March is tomorrow. But last year in March, I think I had shorts on the whole month.
Yeah, it was really early spring last year.
You know,
year.
When you yeah. say it's just around the corner, it's hard to believe that we could ever duplicate what we did last mm-hmm. year. That was just crazy.
It'll be
warm.
Interesting to see.
Well, you know, I know we have a lot of hummingbird fans in our audience yeah. Today, so maybe folks can call in and share with us what mm-hmm. they
yeah,
think.
Yeah, I'm sure we haven't seen any yet, but... We won't be long.
It's very true. At least I hope. I'm right. ready for warmer temperatures and a drier walk to the car. What signs of spring are you seeing in your backyard or across northeastern Indiana and northwest Ohio? Give us a call and share your story. What's giving you optimism that spring is just around the corner? 260-452-1185 or toll free at 800-471-9264. You can always email us middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. And don't forget, you can see Laura Stein's photos on our Facebook page this hour. Laura, I see more than one bird in your photos here.
Well, just so happens this morning I looked out my kitchen window and we have a little birdhouse that I put on an evergreen tree just outside my window so I could watch. But you know, it's just sat there all winter. You know, it hasn't really done anything. Well, this morning I've got a male and a female who are going back and forth and building a nest in it.
Aww.
So I can see the males going and grabbing mm-hmm. twigs and other things that they use to build nests, and they're getting started. So that was fairly fortuitous. I saw that. What can I do with that?
And a lovely photo as well. And we should mention too here, you're starting to see some plants just pop up a bit.
Yeah. A friend of mine on Facebook said he's seeing daffodils coming up at his house. So
oh, wow.
I love this time of year with you know, especially with bulbs, because they're the first things that come up. The daffodils, the tulips. These are bulbs as well. These are my allium bulbs, mm-hmm. The Globemaster that I really like. But those started to pop up. This photo is actually about a week and a half old.
Oh wow.
So they've been popping up, and you know, that's not a problem for them. They'll come up, and even if we get a hard freeze, they'll die back and they'll just come up again. So it's nothing to worry about. But this time of year, it's really fun to go out and walk the garden, mm-hmm. see if you can see what's coming up and see if you can remember what it was from last year. I plant things, yeah. you know, from last year, and I go, I don't really know what that is.
It's a surprise every year then. It's a little bit of fun.
And it's not unusual to see crocus pop into bloom anytime soon. I mean, when the weather's like this, and then it's like every time it rains, almost like a cold spring rain, mm-hmm. this is, you start looking at your crocus again. It's like, are they going to bloom now? Each rain means they're going to bloom, and it's, is this the one?
Mm-hmm.
The crocus will be first, followed by the daffodils, and of course, tulips are usually last.
Mm-hmm.
Hyacinths, how do you even say when they bloom? They look good from the second they pop
right.
through with their flowers, because mm-hmm. as soon as you see the first smidgen of blue or pink, as far as I'm concerned, it's blooming. And of course, it just gets bigger and better. And it takes a long time for a hyacinth to actually open up fully, even when it gets warm. Daffodils, on the other hand, or crocus, as soon as it gets warm, boom, they're done.
Right.
They're just finished. But they'll be the first ones you see, crocus and then daffodils. And I'm seeing them popping through the ground. I think I've got one at home. I saw a bud on the daffodil already.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It hasn't opened, but the bud's there.
Wow.
But it's a good point what you mentioned, that even if we get a hard freeze, it won't hurt them. It's true. It won't hurt them this early in the season. It won't. Mm-hmm. The one time in all the years that I saw bulbs get affected by bad weather was, it was a fluky April. Everybody's bulbs were planted in the fall like they're supposed to be. They did their growing thing through the winter, and they were popping through the ground. And bulbs were thinking about blooming in April, and about the second week of April or so, the temperature dropped down to some crazy, like 8 degrees for a couple days in a row, and it actually made the blooms abort. And that was it. They didn't bloom. They produced foliage, but never bloomed. Mm-hmm. None of them. The parks had the problem. Everybody had the problem.
Doug, we've got to go to break in about 2 minutes here. I've asked Laura what signs of spring, even though it's not spring yet, what signs of spring she's seeing already. What are you seeing around your shop?
Well, besides the bulbs that I mentioned, the magnolias. There's a parking lot, well, our parking lot, but right on the edge where the neighbor is. There's magnolias, and they're budded up real nice. But then that's pretty typical to see buds on those, and the tulip trees to be budded up. And again, that's another one of the shrubberies that you'll see bloom early in the season. It's another one of those where the blooms pop out, they look beautiful, they smell good, and then later the blooms fall off and the foliage comes on. Mm-hmm. And then you have to grow the foliage all year long for next year.
I always like to look at them, just the plain maple trees, the, you know, our large red maples or shade trees, because those do get little bitty flowers on them, but it's very, very early.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And if you don't look up, you miss it and you don't see them because they're not great big flowers, but it's really fun to see them blooming. Then you know it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We need to take a quick break here. In the meantime, we want you to get in touch with us. What signs of spring are you seeing in your neck of the woods? Give us a call and share your thoughts, 260-452-1185, or toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, where you can also see photos from Laura Stein, or you can send us a tweet. It's @MiddayMatters. And of course, we're taking your plant and garden questions, comments, and if you have any tips you'd like to share, we'd love to hear those this hour as well. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters Outer Spaces.
It's time to meet music.
Hi, I'm Julia Meek, and what does this week's Meet the Music bring? A double shot of rock and roll, garagey blues style from the Slowpokes, and Next Exit sharing golden classics. That's Thursday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM, or listen online at nipr.fm, a two-hour serving of homegrown delights here on Meet the Music.
I got my guitar and I've got my band.
Pete Rose had more hits in his career than anyone in baseball, ever. And he holds a bunch of other all-time records, too.
I didn't cheat to get all those records, you know, like a lot of guys are doing the last 10 years. I didn't cheat the game.
He holds the records, but doesn't always get the recognition. Pete Rose, later on All Things Considered, from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Are your investments tax-wise? More information at Reinbold and Anderson, on the web at reinboldandanderson.com. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Michigan Power, offering pickup and recycling of old, inefficient refrigerators and freezers. Information at indianamichiganpower.com/save.
It's 12:22. This is Midday Matters Outer Spaces on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter, along with Doug Hackbarth from Broadview Florist and Laura Stein from Laura Stein Gardens. We were talking in the first part of our program, what signs of spring are you seeing in your backyard? Are the bluebirds back? Are you seeing some bulbs start to pop? Spring's not here yet, but gosh, we're looking forward to it. Share your thoughts with us. And of course, if you have a question or comment, we'd love to have you this hour as well. 260-452-1185. Toll free, 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. We have a few email and Facebook comments we'll get to in just a moment here. We have some folks on the line, though. First, let's get Kathy from LaGrange on the air. Kathy, welcome to Midday Matters.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I have the opportunity to take walks in the woods every day, and I've noticed that the pussy willows especially are swelling along with the sassafras trees. And in my garden, the kale, which often overwinters, is putting out new shoots, and that's always a good first sign of spring for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Kathy, those are great observations. Thanks for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's lovely that you get to get out and see these things every day.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Also, the horses are really frolicking in the fields. Even if there's snow in the fields, they're out frolicking along with the dogs and cats rolling around. So you can they're feeling it coming on too.
they're ready for the melt, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Kathy, that's lovely. Thank you so much for the call.
All righty. Have a good day.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. I saw a bunch of faces light up in here.
I heard walk in the woods every day, and I went, wow, I want to do what Kathy's doing. Well, sassafras trees, you know, that's not something we really see in the urban landscape. And I'll never forget a trip. I went on a little hike down in Brown County at the park, and I was hiking with a woman, and she said, well, you know, we were really poor when we were kids. And so my mother would send us out in the woods, and we would grab a sassafras stick, and that's what we brushed our teeth with when we were kids. And so she showed me the sassafras and broke a little piece off. And if you've ever had sassafras tea, I mean, it's got a really distinct flavor. Mm-hmm. So that's what I remembered when she said sassafras. This is a great little story.
I've had sassafras tea, but I'll tell you, it was so long ago. I must have just been 6 or 7 years old, but I remember
the
taste.
20 years ago?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Just a few years ago.
Looks like we have another caller on the line. Thanks again, Kathy, for getting in touch with us. We've got Amy from Roanoke. Amy, welcome to Midday Matters.
I don't have a botanical comment. It's a wildlife comment. I've noticed dead skunks, and I've also noticed sandhill crane migrate.
Yes.
Dead skunks, maybe not the most conventional sign of spring, but yes, sandhill cranes. I've heard murmurs already about folks seeing them.
Well, skunks, they tend to come out to eat, you know, when spring comes. And I notice in the fall, dead skunks, because they're trying to fatten up for the winter.
Makes sense.
Well, that's good observation.
Right.
Well, the sandhill cranes is another one. I was just out on one of the Little River Wetlands properties, Arrowhead Prairie, out off of a Boyd Road, and we saw a big grouping of sandhill cranes come over. And that's a great observation, because sometimes you really can't see them. You can only hear them. And once you hear that call, it's really distinct. That's a great observation, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy, we appreciate the call. And I don't know if anybody's going to top skunks for signs of spring. So.
That could be the winner.
We could give the award away right now. Hey, Amy, we appreciate the call. Have a very good day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. 260-452-1185 or toll free at 800-471-9264. If you want to share your backyard signs of spring with us today, or if you have a question or comment for Doug Hackbarth and Laura Stein, we have a Facebook question here from Myra. Myra says, it's that time of year to start thinking about planting with the capital letters, hooray, yay. I mostly plant vegetables in planters. Two questions. Number one, should I dump out the old dirt and start with the new? Let's tackle that one first.
Well, here's the thing. Here's my rule on the old dirt. If you allowed those plants to rot and die in that dirt, then I don't think you should use it over again, especially if it rotted. Composting's a different story. If you purposely composted the foliage in that, well, that would be okay, but you'd have to distinguish between what was composted and what rotted, because rot is not a good thing to have in your soil. So this is the reason it's always good to get the plants out in the late fall, early winter, and get them out of there and get the soil maybe worked up. You know how the farmers used to plow and then they'd just leave it that way so mm-hmm. the winter would break it up? It wouldn't hurt to dig those plants out in the late fall or winter and just with a trowel, turn that soil around and then just leave it be. Don't smooth it out or anything like that. And then I think you could use it again. What's your thoughts, Laura?
Well, I'm not an expert on vegetable gardening, but I believe that when you plant something like a tomato plant, you're supposed to rotate it and put it in a different area for the next year. So it may depend on the type of vegetable. You know, if they were tomato plants, I would probably replace the soil.
Or put them in a different pot.
That could be too.
Rotate the pots. There you go.
All right. Yeah. Question number two from Myra. Part B. Should I wash and sanitize the planters? If so, what cleaning product would you recommend?
Well, with bleach, it's one part bleach to nine parts water. Mm-hmm. And you can scrub it with that. Basically, that's it. They make chemicals specifically for cleaning pots, but it's mostly sold to big business nurseries that do huge areas at a time. And it's really not necessary. Y'all have bleach.
That makes sense to me. If you wanted to sanitize the pot, you could just do the bleach water.
Yeah.
All right, Myra. Good luck, and we appreciate your questions. And I think we're all everybody in our audience, I think, is starting to think about planting already, because we think about it all winter.
Right.
Yeah. We have an email comment here from Anita. It's titled "Signs of Spring." Anita says, "I saw two robins in my backyard earlier this week. Is that a sign of spring? Somebody told me they heard that some robins actually stay in this area during the winter. Please settle our debate. P.S. What about geese? I heard some geese making quite a ruckus yesterday. In fact, very near the radio station here, you have to dodge the geese, it seems like, trying to get mm-hmm. it in and out. So I understand that, Anita. what about robins, though? Do some stick around? Do we know?
I have heard that the robins are sticking around
a little longer than usual.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our winters haven't been as bad as winters in the past either. They've been a lot more mild, and especially the last two or three years. So maybe some of them do stick mm-hmm. around.
Well, tell you what, let's put that to our audience as well.
Yeah.
Have you seen the robins? Do you know? Are they sticking around, or is it a fractional percentage that
Is it just a spring thing, or have they been here all winter?
We'd love to hear from you. If you're a bird expert, a robin expert, or if you want to share your signs of spring with us, or if you just have a question or comment, get in touch. 260-452-1185 or toll free at 800-471-9264. 4.
Hey, Sean, there was a movie that I saw recently. It starred crazy people like Jack Black and Steve Martin.
Sure.
It was about bird watching. And the only reason I bring it up is because I found out one thing from that. It's never called bird watching. It's birding.
Birding.
Birding. Birding. Mm-hmm. If you're a bird watcher, then what you are is you're birding.
Hmm.
So that's the proper term.
Learn something new every day. I stand corrected on my earlier label.
Yeah, that's what it's called, birding.
Looks like we've got another email comment here from Mike. Mike says, "Hey guys, spotted a first red-winged blackbird Monday along US 24 around Roanoke. Won't be long." I couldn't agree with that sentiment more. It won't be long before spring's here. Red-winged blackbird.
I've seen one.
I don't think I've seen any yet this year.
I think I have.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah. I have not either.
Hmm. We'll take a break for the news in just a few moments here, but I do want to invite our listeners to get in touch with us. Your signs of spring. What's going on in your backyard right about now? 260-452-1185. Toll free at 800-471-9264. Currently, nobody in the phone bank, so you'll get right through. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, where you can also see some photos from Laura Stein, or you can send us a tweet @MiddayMatters. Remember, we want to hear your signs of spring, your questions and comments about your outer spaces, and we want to know if you're an expert on robins. Have they been sticking around here? We would love to find out a little more. Before we go to our break, we have one more caller. Just joined us, actually. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, welcome to Midday Matters.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, how are you?
Fine.
Very well.
Hey, I've got a comment on robins. I'm no expert, but I took my kids and grandkids down to Powhatchie State Park just east of Bluffton last week, and in the 10 where they have the buffalo, I saw at least 20 robins.
Oh, wow.
They look fat and happy.
those buffaloes probably put off a lot of heat. They don't realize it's
heat. And other things.
Yep, that's right.
And compost.
That's a great observation, Jimmy. Yeah. That's wonderful. So they were fat and happy. Looked like they'd been sticking around, eh?
They were wintering over. They most of them looked like males. Don't say there weren't some females in there, but I think the guys are hanging around with the bulls down there waiting for the girls to come back home.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jimmy, we appreciate the call. You're adding some answers to the puzzle here today.
Super. Yeah. Get everybody down to Powhatchie.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day, Jimmy. Thank you very much. We need to take that break for the news right now. In the meantime, get in touch with us. Share your stories, your questions, your comments, your tips even. We'll take it all today. 260-452-1185 or 800-471-9264. We'll be back in about 4 minutes here. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
After spending years battling Palestinian militants and hunting down terrorists, 6 former Israeli intelligence chiefs question their country's rule of the occupied territories in the Oscar-nominated documentary The Gatekeepers. On the next Fresh Air, director Dror Moreh tells us about making that film and his profile of former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. A Northeastern Indiana center that helps refugees from the Southeast Asian nation of Myanmar adjust to life in the U.S. is evolving to also aid other immigrants. Fort Wayne is home to more than 6,000 immigrants from Myanmar, giving it one of the nation's largest communities from the Asian nation, also known as Burma. The city's Burmese Advocacy Center currently has 130 families from Burmese clients and is expected to add another 60 families this year. The center's director tells the New Sentinel that the office's mission is evolving and it now also helps immigrants from the African nations of Congo, Somalia, and Chad. The nonprofit center includes a family intensive care unit, immigrant and refugee job development, vocational training, and cross-cultural education. After being fast-tracked through the General Assembly, legislation aimed at preventing $57 million in farm property tax increases landed on Governor Mike Pence's desk on Wednesday. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on the governor's first bill signing.
One of the factors used in determining farmland property taxes is soil productivity, or how much of a crop soil can produce. Since 1979, the soil productivity factor has been a constant. But the Department of Local Government Finance, or DLGF, announced last year the factors would change, increasing property taxes on farmers across Indiana. Legislation signed by Governor Mike Pence Wednesday keeps the productivity factor at its 2011 level for another year while asking the DLGF to review its decision. Pence says the bill helps keep Hoosier farmers competitive.
And that we avoid an unnecessary tax increase by the imposition of an assessment that doesn't take in the unique challenges that Hoosier agriculture faces.
There is an appeals process for individual farms to challenge their property tax assessments, but Oldenburg Republican Senator Gene Lysing, who sponsored the bill, says that wouldn't have helped in this case.
This would have hit every parcel of agricultural land in the state. It would have been overwhelming for local counties to deal with this through appeals.
And Lysing says keeping the soil productivity factor a constant is important when another piece of the formula for farm property taxes, grain prices, fluctuates so much. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Unemployed Indiana residents will keep receiving federally extended unemployment benefits under a reversal by the Indiana Department of Workforce Development. Agency Commissioner Scott Sanders posted a message on the agency's homepage Wednesday night saying the agency, quote, will proceed with full payment of extended unemployment compensation until further notice. The change affects 32,000 Indiana residents. Sanders says the change comes after the U.S. Labor Department confirmed Wednesday that the extended benefits will not be affected by the automatic federal budget cuts taking effect Friday. Agency spokesman Joe Frank said earlier Wednesday that the benefits for those unemployed more than 26 weeks would remain suspended until the state received guidance from the Labor Department. Unless Congress acts by Friday, $85 billion in cuts are set to take effect. You're listening to 89.1 FM WBOY Fort Wayne. Now back to Midday Matters.
Just 20 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, this is Midday Matters Outer Spaces on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. With me in studio, it's Doug Hackbarth, our usual co-host for this hour. And because it's the last Thursday of the month, Laura Stein from Laura Stein Gardens is with us. Laura was here earlier in the month. Appreciate you not getting too sick of us here in the studio.
Oh, not at all. It's always back. A pleasure to come and come and chat.
We've been talking about signs of spring. Even though it's not spring, I think a lot of us are looking forward to the spring season getting here quickly. And we want to know what you're seeing in your backyard that you're seeing as a sign of spring. Of course, we're also taking your plant and garden questions and comments this hour. So get in touch with us. Give us a call, 260-452-1185, or toll free at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. We have an email comment here. We have a few callers on the line. Jim wrote in via email to say, I have a crabapple tree, and even when we had the ultra-cold temperatures, there were dozens of fat robins eating up the crabapples. The robins eat crabapples every spring. Jim, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. We're getting a lot of robin activity here now that we've put the call out. Let's open the phones and see if we can't get Julia on the line. And Julia, welcome to Midday Matters.
Thank you. How are you?
Great. Oh, very well. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, I am. Oh.
Oh, go ahead, please.
I have a robin comment as well.
let's hear it.
Yes. All right. Well, I am 60 years old almost, and so growing up, because of my father, we were always learning about birds. And we would know all the birds in the backyard, and along about the start of winter, all the birds, and the robins particularly, would leave, and they would not be around anymore. I've orphaned robins and cedar waxwings and grackles, so I've always been interested in birds. But and then the first sign of spring was to see a robin come back to the backyard. Well, I work at a school a couple of miles from my house, and for the last three winters, I've been so surprised because there is a flock of the fattest robins that are there all year long, and in the winter, they are so tame, and they're so fat that they never leave anymore.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting? That's what I've been hearing, that they're really sticking around.
That's yep. Interesting. So many, many more than ever before.
Yes, and I feel like this. Yeah, I absolutely. There's like 30 that are just in this one little area that I walk by every day, and they are so fat. They just sit there on the ground and in this couple of trees.
Well, Julia, we appreciate the comment here. You're painting a very vivid picture. I see a lot of robins in your
yep.
future.
Yeah, between Julie and the guy that texted in
and Jim, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like they are definitely here in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
Julia,
very hardy.
We appreciate the call and appreciate you tuning in. Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking it. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have a question, comment, or maybe you want to share your signs of spring with us this hour. A few more callers on the line. Another email here as well. Dean wrote in to say, I saw a male and female cardinal over the weekend. I don't know if they stay all year, but I saw it as a sign. Love the show. Well, we appreciate you sharing that with us, Dean. Of course, cardinals, everybody's familiar with them. We see them, seems like, most of the year.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, they're here through the winter.
Sure.
All right.
But when you see, when you see them pairing up,
I was going to say, when you see two of them together, okay. It's, yeah, love is in the air, let's say. We've got some callers on the line. Let's open the phones and go to Barry. Barry, welcome to Midday Matters.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you.
Thanks very much. Go ahead, please.
Well, this is just a story. It happened a number of years back when I worked at a state veterans home in Iowa. And we had, during the late winter, there was a flock of robins around that looked sick. We had a driveway going up to the main building, and a couple of them got run over. They wouldn't move out of the way of cars and things like that. And we thought, because there was a lot of snow in the ground, that they were starving. And so we tried to throw bread and seeds and birdseed and stuff out, and they didn't seem to be interested in that. So we finally called the conservation department, whatever that was at the time. I can't remember the exact name. And they came out and checked, and what they did is they told us that the robins were drunk. They were eating the fermented crab apples that lined the driveway. And they were getting drunk, and they wouldn't get out of the way of cars and everything like that. And eventually, I think they sobered up and were just fine. So
that's a great story.
I have a story like that last Saturday night.
Oh, my gosh.
That's funny.
That's terribly funny. I guess on the health show we need to get some robin hangover remedies or something like that.
There you go. Yeah.
A good reason not to plant your crab apples right by the driveway or the street.
Oh my God! Yes, that's absolutely
the robins.
True.
That's funny.
Barry, a great story. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I hadn't heard that before either, and I wonder if elderberry. Berries would do the same thing.
It looks like we have a number of callers joining us during this hour of the program. We'll try to get to everybody. Let's keep moving. We've got Carl on the line. Carl, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon, and hopefully I won't lose you on my cell phone, but a couple of quick comments. Number one, my wife and I are both avid birders. It's not a vocation, it's an avocation. Hmm. Just something that we chose as a hobby like most folks, And then we do a lot of things in the wintertime and have birding feeding stations in different places and do bird counts and all that sort of thing. But my first comment, and I may have been preempted with this, is that, number one, contrary to popular belief, robins don't migrate per se. They will cluster, they will flock, and they may move to secluded or sheltered areas where there are lower activity levels, But if you have feeding stations out in wintertime, you can see robins all winter. So it is a great sign. It's a lovely sign to see more of them locally. But if you're looking for a very positive sign of spring when the birds are concerned, look for hummingbirds.
Uh-huh.
That is an absolute positive sign that spring is not far behind.
The hummingbirds have their finger on the issue there, their wings on the issue there.
Absolutely, and hummingbirds do migrate. A lot of folks, one of their, you know, we try to, and you can read, you know, articles about this in different places, but if you are a birder of any fashion and you have any feeding stations or anything like that, it is good to leave your hummingbird feeders out as late as you can in the year. Once they start to freeze, it becomes a moot point. But you leave your hummingbird feeders out as long as you can, and you put them out as early as you can. So we're being a little preemptive now, but my wife has already got the boxes out, and she's got them all scrubbed up and, you know, making the, you know, hummingbird food, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're anticipating, you know, putting our feeders out, and we try to watch so that the daytime temperature stays in the mid to upper 30s so that the feeders early in the morning or like late in the afternoon, they don't freeze up too soon, you know.
Very good.
Well, nothing wrong with a little preparation and a little optimism as well.
Right.
Can I ask, before you hang up, can I ask exactly what the formula is for your hummingbird food? Water versus sugar?
I would tell you that this is going to be from the hip a little bit because my wife is the expert when it comes to making the food. But we have purchased some of that commercial nectar where you put, you know, one package to a quart of water, for instance. We generally speaking go with a quart. We will, sometimes she will put red food coloring in just for the color. It has nothing to do with anything else. It's just for the color because it helps the hummingbird feeders. They look a little bit more presentable, although all of ours are already red or red shaded or something of that nature, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, she will add just an ever so slight, like a quarter, and here's an interesting thing, just about a quarter of a teaspoon of Knox gelatin, the clear unfinished, to the a quart of water, warm water, and then she will put approximately a half to three quarters of a cup of sugar in and mix that and settle it until the sugar is completely dissolved. The biggest issue is when you make your feed to make sure that everything dissolves and goes into solution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the biggest trick.
All right.
Do you know what the, I've never heard of putting Knox gelatin in, and I've heard different things about the food coloring. I've heard some say no and some say yes. What's the thought with the gelatin?
Well, I am also not 100% sure in that area. I can only tell you what we had heard at some meetings and different, you know, gatherings and that sort of thing. We've heard it from other people.
Okay.
And we did hear from one ornithologist that apparently that adds some consistency or body or in some fashion helps that sugar support. It has some positive effect with the sugar in the water on the metabolism of the hummingbird.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, these are great tips here,
Sean.
Carl, I'm
sorry to have to ask him one more quick question.
One more quick one.
Do you bring it to a boil? I always brought mine to a boil. As soon as it came to a boil, then I stopped because you can overcook it.
You know what? We have never boiled it.
You don't boil it. That's what I always figured dissolved the sugar.
I'm not saying that boiling it is bad, but my wife, she, generally speaking, she just makes the water hot enough to dissolve.
Oh, okay.
Now,
so,
there's something to keep in mind. See, we're on well water.
Yeah, okay.
So we try, you know, for feeds and that sort, just like watering the plants and that sort of thing. we will use, I bought one of those filter things, yeah. You know, so we will try to use that at least half, you know, 50% of the time to keep the salt off the plants and to keep the salt off the water for the birds, et cetera, et cetera. And now it's not 100%, but normally when she makes the hummingbird food, she just uses the ordinary tap water straight from the well through the softener with the salt in it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we never boil the water.
Very good. That answers my question. Thank you so much.
Carl, lots of good advice here and good information as well. We appreciate the call.
Well, you know, the comments are just like birds. You know, there's a number of people that feed birds, there's a number of options that you have for feeding the birds.
True.
Hey, Carl, have a wonderful day. Thanks very much.
You too. Thank you, and keep up the wonderful program.
Oh, thank you so much. Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 is the line if you'd like to give us a call during the last few minutes of this hour, or you can call us toll-free at 800-471-9264. We're going to forego our last break here to get a few more people involved in the conversation. Let's see if we can get Mark here. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have another sign of spring, which is a 45 at the end of the 10-day forecast, and we're in March. So I have a rosebush pruning question.
Yeah.
I have a clump of birch trees at the corner of the house, and it's underplanted with 4, 5, 6 rose bushes. I call them shrub roses of some kind.
Sure.
I mean, I didn't plant them. They're whatever was popular in landscaping probably 10 or 12 years ago when the house was built.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, they get horribly overgrown, and I'm wondering if I can give them a good whack back after they bloom in the spring. They bloom really heavy in late May, say early June, and then they rebloom a little bit. I've been trimming them like hybrid teas, but there are so many canes that is a real pain.
Yeah,
I'd
you
like
have
to take a hedge trimmer to them.
That's right, and you can take a hedge trimmer to them. And in fact, you don't have to wait until the first bloom to do the pruning. I would do it in April, and I
so I can do it before the first bloom.
Yeah, I'd prune them back far.
Okay,
very
like how far?
Far. I hate to say, but very far.
A safe rule of thumb is you can take them back a third.
A third.
Now, you know, a hardy shrub rose that is rooted in, you could take it back to a half probably. But I wouldn't go any farther than that. Would you, Doug?
I would. I would go further, especially if he has this tremendous growth every year. I'd go half or more. I would.
Yeah, well, they're probably about 4 foot, but I've found 10-foot canes on them, you know, that hit away from me at late summer.
Yeah, and you can make this a very easy job by getting either the manual hedge trimmers and go out there and just chop, 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 chop.
Yeah.
Rake it away with a plastic pitchfork, you know what I mean, rake. And start from there. But I would do it in April so that your new growth then starts coming up and then it's not disturbed anymore. And it will come into bloom probably still in late May, certainly by the 1st of June.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I would do it. I would, but don't rush out and do it today. I would wait until April.
Yeah. I hear you. Thanks very much.
Uh-huh. Right.
Thanks for the call.
Mark, thanks very much. Have a good day. Just a few minutes left in the program here. We've got two more callers. We'll try to get to everybody. Let's see who we've got on the list here. It's been so long. We've got Jimmy on line four. Jimmy, I believe you were with us earlier.
Hey, guys. This is Jimmy again.
Hi.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Okay. I hope that you can hear me. Let me just tell you that when I was 15, I couldn't hardly read, so my mom sent me to Purdue for a speed reading course. Remember the first question or test that based on a story of Robin?
Uh-huh.
And Robin's, I learned that paragraph story was that they come back to your yard each year in the family, and that Jean Stratton Porter, the little birds in her yard, enclose and play with them as pets. They were the actual same bird year after year.
Hmm.
And again, Carl earlier was saying that they do winter over. I would bet that those birds that are down at Quabatchee State Park are Fort Wayne birds, and they'll come back to your same yard. So if you want to make a pet of a robin, mom and dad and the kids are coming back my yard each year.
Get out there and tag those legs.
That's some great info, Jimmy. We appreciate it. You're popping in and out there, but I think we got it.
And I could,
thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Love it. Love your program. Bye-bye.
Oh, and I could be wrong, but I think the hummingbirds come back to the same. I swear, the ones that I have, and they go all the way to across the Gulf of Mexico in the winter, and I think it's the same ones that come back. I do.
We've gotten so many folks calling about robins. Maybe we'll talk more hummingbirds birds next week.
That's right.
We should have a show on birds. We need a Cornell ornithologist to call in. Could we?
Let's see. We've got one more caller on the line and a few comments to get to as well. Let's open the phones and go to Rob from Fort Wayne. Rob, welcome to Midday Matters.
Hi, Rob.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
This is kind of a little bit of a pre-spring ritual for us, but, as hobbyists, we tap the maple trees on our woodlot. And most people don't do that, but, 50, 60, 70 years ago, that was, a common farm activity.
Sure. When do you usually start the tapping process?
I can't hear you, sir.
But when do you usually start the tapping process?
Well, we've been tapping for a while.
Oh, really?
Tapping usually starts early, mid-February. Scientifically, and I don't understand it, but it's also a good predictor of spring. Much more efficient and correct than the groundhog.
I'll bet. Or the skunk.
Yeah.
Well,
it's hard work, but it's fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun, and you have something delicious at the end there too. Rob, we have to let you go. We're reaching the end of the program, but thanks so much for getting in touch.
Okay, thank you for letting me share that.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
We had a Facebook comment here, actually a few that we weren't able to get to. Our friend Janet posted an article from National Geographic on our Facebook page. Some good information about robins and other birds sticking around through the wintertime. Doug says, this is not Doug Hackbarth, another Doug, says, was out in the backyard briefly this morning and definitely noticed the birds sounded different. Seems like a lot more singing, a lot more noise in the backyard, and hopefully a lot more to come in the days to come. I don't know about you, but I'm about tired of tromping around through all this sloppy, snowy, wet.
Sloppy mud. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Well, we've reached the end of another episode of Midday Matters Outer Spaces. Thanks so much to everybody for tuning in, for getting in touch with us this hour. Lots of folks sharing in the conversation. We couldn't do this show without you. Doug Hackbarth, we appreciate you being with us once again.
Thank you. Indiana Native Trees lists sassafras.
Sassafras.
Mm-hmm. Just thought I'd mention that.
All right.
It is a native found in lots of yards. My previous comment meant to be that it's not. We don't typically purchase them at a nursery and plant them, but yes, they're all over. It's a great native tree.
And with that, we'll have to leave it there. Laura Stein, thank you very much for being with us
again. Thank you, Sean, for having me.
Pleasure having you. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 FM HD Channel 1. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Fresh Air is coming up next with your local host, Katie Anderson. The time is 1 o'clock.